Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hello.
The musical life and death of a chocolate city. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, a new book tells the story of go-go, Washington, D.C.'s homegrown funk style. Plus, a live performance from the Mina Birds. Now, it's really rare when you can point to a single person at a single place and time and say, there, that's where this style started. But with go-go, that's exactly what we can do. This guitarist, Chuck Brown, created the percussion-heavy sound with his band The Soul Searchers in D.C. in the mid-70s, and the Capitol has been dancing ever since. Chuck Brown passed away on Wednesday at the age of 75. Author Natalie Hopkinson has written an upcoming book called Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. And she joins us from the studios of WAMU in D.C. to talk about Chuck Brown's legacy and the history of go-go. Natalie, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks so much for having me.
How is D.C. reacting to the news today?
Well, I think that people are, surprisingly for a man who was 75 years old, people are in absolute shock because he was so viral. He liked to wear his shirt off. He was really strappy with muscles, and He just went, and it really didn't seem possible that there would be a D.C. without Chuck Brown in it.
Now, isn't there kind of a tradition of large public funerals for go-go figures?
Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, Lil Benny, who was one of Chuck's mentees, passed away, and there was a massive funeral for him that the city put on at the convention center. There were about 7,000 people that came to mourn him. So I can't even imagine how big the funeral will be for Chuck.
All right. So for those of us who are not native to the D.C. area, tell us who Chuck Brown was. Why was he important?
Chuck Brown was the leader of Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers. He was a singular figure in Washington, D.C. and its music scene for basically his whole life. And he created the go-go sound at a place in Washington, D.C., a club called the Maverick Room in the 1970s. It was around 1976 when he developed the sound. And he sort of lit the spark that created a whole industry of fashion. Network of clubs. There's a whole industry that's gone around go-go music that stemmed from the music that he created.
Now, in interviews, Chuck Brown said that he was inspired to create this style by the heavy groove of this song by Grover Washington Jr., a song called Mr. Magic. So Chuck Brown, the late Chuck Brown, took this kind of jazz funk fusion that Grover Washington Jr. had recorded, and with his own band, the Soul Searchers, he took that funk sound and added lots of percussion to create go-go. Brown and the Soul Searchers, We Need Some Money, the irrepressible sounds of go-go, which Chuck Brown started In D.C. in the mid-70s, as Natalie Hopkinson describes in her forthcoming book, Go Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. Natalie, what was it about Chuck Brown? Again, he died on Wednesday. He was 75. You said that even though he was 75, he was really vital. People really, you know, kind of thought he would, like the music, just keep going and going. What was it that made him such a beloved figure there?
Well, his love for the people, you could just feel it. I was talking to a photographer who was documenting his life in the last few months, and he talked about a gig that he was doing just in January where the other musicians were ready to leave, but he refused to leave before he signed every single autograph of every single person who wanted one. And, you know, for a 75-year-old man, you know, to be doing that at 2 o'clock in the morning, I mean, it's a real testament to what kind of love that he had for the people and his generosity and human spirit.
So is go-go more than just a style of music? I mean, is there a kind of a culture that has grown up around it there in the D.C. area?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a sound, and there's certain like basic elements, like the conga drums. That's how you know that it's go-go. But it actually can sound like many different styles. It can be sort of funky. It could be more reggae. Some of the newer go-go is more punk-like. But you know, the thing that's significant that I write about in the book is that the network, the economic network that sustains it. So you're talking about record stores, you're talking about club venues, and you're talking about a whole fashion industry. You have DC-based fashion lines like We Are One, Madness, Hobo, Shooters. Every single neighborhood has a clothing line that, you know, that basically is the uniform when you go to the Go-Go's. And they were really huge and for many, many years. So, like I said, he lit a spark that entrepreneurs in the city have just run with ever since. And that's what sort of made it so entrenched in D.C.
Mm-hmm. So it became kind of one of the economic engines of some of these neighborhoods. And I guess, could you tell what neighborhood you were in from the clothing that people were wearing?
Yes, you could. And if you go, you know, if you wore a hobo, that meant that you, you know, you're representing Southeast. Uh-huh. And if you wear We Are One, then it's more you know, uptown, you know, the Shaw area. Shooters was Northeast. I mean, and it's sort of, yeah, that's absolutely the way that it was. And, you know, it's a way that Washingtonians sort of silently can acknowledge each other as native Washingtonians and, you know, by through this, the clothing styles. And, you know, it's all linked into the music.
So the music sort of linked in the audience as well. It seems that one of the real, in addition to, you mentioned the congas and the percussion-heavy sound, but one of the identifying characteristics is this kind of really deep-in-the-pocket kind of call-and-response thing between the musicians on stage and the audience out in the club.
Yeah, it's always said that in go-go, the audience is part of the band. And so you don't have, unless the audience is doing their part and responding to the hand signs and the different dances, call and response dances, chants, you know, they're calling out different neighborhoods, crews, you know, everybody has a call name and, you know, you're looking for a shout out, especially for your birthday, you know, so the lyrics are, they're sort of collaboratively created between the artists that are on stage and the audience that's off stage.
So
that's also what makes it real sticky.
And would you say that a go-go band has a lead singer, or do you say they have a lead talker?
They have a lead talker. So Chuck is considered a lead talker, even though he also sang. But in most, that's one of the structures of go-go bands. You have a lead talker. So Big G of Backyard Band, Polo of TCB Band, these are lead talkers that their jobs, they're sort of like the MCs. They call people out. You know, they acknowledge the important people in the room and the people who are their most devoted fans. And then you probably will have a rapper, too, and you'll have vocalists. I mean, if you go to a go-go show, you're going to find like 10 people on stage that are part of that are part of the band.
We're speaking with Natalie Hopkinson. Her forthcoming book is called Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. And 1986, this was the go-go band Rare Essence live at Breeze's Metro Club. And a bit of what Natalie was talking about, a roll call.
Stacy and Doogie, y'all. Lisa and the world, y'all.
That is Rare Essence, recorded live at Breeze's Metro Club in D.C. And Natalie, I can't help but notice that all the people he's calling out there were ladies.
Well, I think he had a good mix.
Did the dudes not get called out?
Oh, no, they got called out, too. There was a good mix there in the audience. And actually, for my book, I have a transcription of that performance. And it was done by someone who was 18 at the time and remembered very vividly that night. And right after that show, Rare Essence got on the road and went to Detroit to film a video with Aretha Franklin.
Wow.
So this was like 1986 was right when go-go was near the peak of its popularity. And it actually was equivalent to hip hop as far as its popularity in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Did you
so
ever...
people didn't know whether hip hop would last, but they figured go-go was here to stay.
Well, I want to follow up on that. But first... did you ever get a shout out from the stage?
Well, I did. Well, I actually came into the scene as a reporter. I was a writer for the style section of the Washington Post. And then I was an ethnographer at the University of Maryland, College Park. So I've sort of been not of the community necessarily, but they have sort of embraced me. And so I have gotten shout outs from folks. But it's considered sort of a birthright. If you live in D.C., you have to get your birthday shout out. And if you can get the recording, then it's super valuable.
All right. So now let me follow up, because your book is called Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. So after 1986, everyone's thinking go-go is here to stay. Was it there to stay? What's happening now?
I'd say it's still here to stay. I mean, that's one of the most encouraging things. You know, if there's anything positive to be taken with the loss that we've had with Chuck Brown, is that there is a vibrant, vibrant scene. Unfortunately, it's not in the city itself, because the city is, we've seen some of the most aggressive gentrification in the whole country in D.C. So a lot of the old spaces that were go-go filled, you know, the go-go's infrastructure was there is literally being dismantled throughout the city.
So it's now in the suburbs, like in Maryland and places like that?
Yep, it's mostly in Maryland, in Prince George's County and even southern Maryland, St. Mary's.
And has it changed
Virginia.
The music?
Well, the music has evolved, and there's actually a lot of controversy over the new go-go sound, which is called bounce beat. Mm-hmm. Some go-go purists don't consider it real go-go. It's less melodic, and to me, it has the congas, you've got the rototoms, you have the layer, you've got all the elements of go-go, but it's got that punk sound that I mentioned earlier. It's much more you know, it's very aggressive, and you know, the dancing is very you know, athletic and aggressive too.
And when the backyard band, this is the one that the actor Anwan Glover from the HBO show The Wire he's the lead talker for this one, right?
Yep.
Under the name Big G. Let's hear him and the rest of the backyard band with "Tear the Club Up." And that's about as much of the backyard band as we can play on a family show. Tear the Club Up, featuring lead talker Big G, who you may know as Anwan Glover. He played the character of Slim Charles on the HBO series The Wire, and is the lead talker for the band that Natalie was talking about, called the Backyard Band, one of the most popular go-go groups in D.C. today. The style founded by Chuck Brown. Chuck Brown passed away on Wednesday at the age of 75, and Natalie, probably worth pointing out that go-go wasn't always about writing new songs. Sometimes Chuck Brown would take earlier songs and transform them, sort of go-go-fy them, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah, it's very much in the jazz tradition of doing covers and making it into your own. And so, you know, even a lot of the radio hits, like when Chuck first started off, before he started the Soul Searchers and developed the go-go sound, he played with a band called Los Latinos. Hmm. And that was a Latin-style band that they used to interpret top 40 radio hits. But they would sort of give it like a little salsa flavor to it. And so that's basically the template for go-go now, even today. They do a lot of covers. A majority of the songs that you'll hear night after night are covers.
Well, in fact, the late Chuck Brown took a famous piece by another D.C. native, Duke Ellington, and his It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing, and turned it into this, It Don't Mean a Thing If It Don't Have the Go-Go Swing.
It don't mean a thing if you don't got the go-go swing. You go do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop. It don't mean a thing if you don't got the go-go swing. You go do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop, do wop. All right, hit it one time.
In a moment, we continue our conversation with Natalie Hopkinson. She's author of Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of the Chocolate City. And then later, a live performance from the Mina Birds frontwoman Laura Burhan. Stay with us. This is Soundcheck.
Soundcheck.
I'm John Schaefer. We've been speaking about the late D.C. legend Chuck Brown and the local music culture that he started, Go-Go. Speaking with us is Natalie Hopkinson, author of the forthcoming book, Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of the Chocolate City. And we are hearing Chuck Brown's Bustin' Loose. This was his biggest commercial hit. It spent 4 weeks on top of the R&B charts in 1979. The song came back a few decades later as a sample for the 2002 song Hot in Here by the hip-hop artist Nelly. So, Natalie, it's a bit of reflected glory for Chuck Brown there, Nelly sampling his big song, Bustin' Loose. Is that as close as Go-Go ever got to mainstream success?
Well, that was probably the pinnacle. There have been other national hits like Debut, which was from Spike Lee's film School Days. That's what most people are familiar, who aren't familiar with Go-Go. That's the go-to one. And although that's, you know, that's, purists would say that's maybe not, you know, strictly a go-go song, but that's pretty close. Wale, the rapper Wale, covered another go-go song called Pretty Girls, which that was a huge, huge DC hit. It ruled the radio for a long time, and then he covered it in his first album. And, you know, that also did what that thing that charted nationally as well. But for the most part, not so much. I mean, it's mostly a live music scene.
Right.
It's not a recording scene.
So you mentioned Debut, which was not Chuck Brown. That was EU. And that hit number 35 on the Billboard Top 100 in 1988 after it was featured, as Natalie says, in Spike Lee's film School Days.
Yeah.
and somehow that is deemed appropriate for a family show. Debut from EU and 1988 hit for them. So, you know, a glimpse of go-go on the national scene. Natalie Hopkinson talking with us about the late Chuck Brown, the founder of Go-Go, her book called Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. Natalie, where did that nickname, Chocolate City, for Washington, D.C., come from?
That actually was a name that was popular. I think it was popularized by local radio. But then George Clinton came out with an album in 1976 called Chocolate City.
Mm-hmm. And with, it was with a the song of the same name.
Yes, and it was a tribute to the Chocolate City where he had some of his most devoted fans, and you know, the it had just elected a black mayor for the first time, and you know, so it was sort of this song that looked at you know, the political strides that had been made in Washington, D.C. as a majority black city.
Now, Go-Go, you mentioned before how it became part of, it wasn't just a style of music, there was a whole economy that grew up around it, the clubs, the fashion. What about, you know, there was kind of a flip side to that. There was association with crime, with criminal activity. That had a kind of a wider impact right into the ranks of the police force, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. A couple years ago, the local police department they were sort of marking the point that D.C. stopped becoming the murder capital. The murders had been on an all-time low, and one of the things that they attributed to their success in lowering the crime rate was that they had this thing, the Go-Go Report. And that was basically a list of all the shows that were going on, and the police were outside doing surveillance on these places. And so, you know, so it was sort of a way for them to say that that's, you know, I felt it was a lot of scapegoating of the music. Mm-hmm. The music really tells what's happening in the city. So it's not divorced from the larger society and larger societal problems that are there. D.C. had a serious crack epidemic in the 80s, and that music, that was reflected in the music because it's telling you what's happening. So if the city is hurting, then the music is hurting. And so, you know, and unfortunately, the music kind of got singled out as a cause for a lot of the ills.
All right, so the Go-Go Report, something that the D.C. police force said was at least in part responsible for lowering that crime rate, that murder rate. Mm-hmm. Let me read you a couple of comments from some of our listeners on the Soundcheck webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Platypus Darren from Astoria, Platty as we've taken to calling him around the studio, writes, pound for pound, Chuck Brown's Bustin' Loose is still one of the best dance tracks ever for getting wallflowers out on the floor. No one can resist. And Chase writes, so glad you're covering Go-Go. As a Baltimore native and later a D.C. resident, this music was part of the soundtrack of my youth. Talk about the 80s film Good to Go and the Go-Go versus hip-hop concerts that used to tour and the Go-Go influence in hip-hop and R&B, like Jill Scott's music. So what about, I mean, you mentioned the Spike Lee movie, which brought us that EU song. What about the film Good to Go?
Well, that was an interesting part of the book. That was a film, Island Records, in the early 80s, after Bob Marley passed away. They were looking for a new sound to globalize and take global, as they had done for reggae. So their method for doing that was they had a film called The Harder They Come that really broke open reggae. And so they said, okay, well, we're going to do a film for Go-Go. And so that's the film they did, Good to Go. They brought in a British director to do it, and unfortunately, it was bad. like, it was criminally bad, and it was very offensive, very stereotypical black people in crime, and, you know, it was just sort of Welcome to the Jungle, sort of a portrayal of D.C. that everyone hated, critics, everyone alike. So that didn't go so well. But they at Island did have a relationship with Spike Lee, and so they had invited Spike to come to a show in D.C., I think featuring EU, and that was when he decided he wanted to have them in his next movie. So even though he eventually did, Spike did the movie through Columbia Records, he still stuck with including the go-go bands. And so he had a lot more success in trying to translate the go-go sound for a wider audience.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me read another comment. Neil in Vero Beach, Florida. Talk about Trouble Funk a bit, another amazing go-go band out of D.C. A lot of these bands, you've already alluded to this, Natalie, we can talk about them. We can't necessarily hear a lot of them, right? Because this is a live music as opposed to a recorded kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. Now, I do talk a lot about the recordings, but they're live recordings, so they're not meant to be studio recording. So even for the backyard band clip that you saw, mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that sort of distinguishes the newer generation of go-go from Chuck Brown. He was a studio artist as well as a live artist, and so he had there was a lot of polish to the sort of sound that he created. The a lot of the younger bands, they are strictly concert artists, mm-hmm. so it doesn't translate as well. So, translate as well.
Where would you put Trouble Funk in that?
Trouble Funk actually in that wave in the mid '80s. They also had some success as well. They were included in the movie Good to Go, and they also had a deal with. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, Def Jam.
Oh, okay.
They also had a deal with Def Jam, who had signed a wow. bunch of go-go artists at the time. So, you know, they did really well there, and their popularity wasn't sustained abroad or, you know, outside D.C.
Well, I guess that is, you know, we've been talking about Chuck Brown, this remarkable sort of musical hero there in D.C., whose legacy really seems to still have been confined to a few, you know, kind of tapped in listeners around the country, but mostly there in D.C. Is that what his legacy will be as a kind of like the ultimate regional musical artist?
Well, Chuck also has a pretty strong national and international following. I mean, he played in all of the European jazz festivals, so he's on the jazz circuit.
Mm.
So they actually Miles Davis stole a few of his musicians.
That's kind of the ultimate compliment, isn't it?
Right, and that's what he told me when I interviewed him in 2010. You know, when he was the drummer who he used to develop the go-go sound, Ricky Wellman. You know, he was the one, he had gone through several drummers before he got the sound that he wanted. And Miles Davis heard their song and asked if he could have him. And Chuck said, you know, you're welcome to that. He's happy however he can help them in their career. And it's a real compliment. It was much a compliment for him.
Well, Chuck Brown passed away on Wednesday at the age of 75. He is known as the godfather of go-go, formed the style in Washington, D.C., the Chocolate City in the mid-70s. And you can read about the style and Chuck Brown in Natalie Hopkinson's forthcoming book, Go-Go Live, The Musical Life and Death of a Chocolate City. Natalie, thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
That is the late Chuck Brown, and Take Me Out to the Go-Go. Still to come, a live performance from Laura Burhan, leader of the soul pop collective The Mina Birds, and herself a Washington, D.C. native. She's up next. This is Soundcheck.
Now, this is what I need to know. And listen, ladies, y'all, are y'all tired yet? Y'all tired yet?